The first reading this morning is from Isaiah chapter 64, verses 1 through 9. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down. The mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways. But you were angry and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people. Word of God, word of life. The second reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 9. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the word of God, word of life. Please rise for the gospel acclamation.
Gospel according to Mark, the 13th chapter. Let me see. What verses am I supposed to have up here? Anybody? 24 to 37. Thank you very much. All right. But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened. Oh, wait. Stop everything. I wanted to tell you something before I read this. So sorry. I'm on top of my game today. So, we are starting a new year, which means we're starting a new gospel. We've been in Matthew, right? But now we're in year B, and so we're going to be reading out of the book of the Gospel of Mark. And there will be some other things sprinkled in there occasionally, but we're going to be going through the book of Mark during this season or during this church year. And we're not starting at the beginning. So, I'm starting in chapter 13. Which is a little weird, right? And it's part of Mark, which is called the Little Apocalypse. So I wanted to give you a heads up about that. I'm about ready to read about from the Little Apocalypse. And then next week we'll go back to the beginning of Mark. So now, the Gospel according to Mark, the 13th chapter. But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn. Or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all. Keep awake. The Gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. I guess I was a little taken aback. I don't know if you were, that the first Sunday of Advent, we get a little bit of apocalyptic flavor. It's not what we usually associate with Advent. Like I was saying to the kiddos, Advent is a season of hope and waiting and preparing and is filled with joy. So it seems a little bit off to be reading a text about the coming of the end. But see, apocalyptic literature was originally all about hope and waiting and longing. Because apocalyptic literature was not about instilling fear in people, but a promise of change for a people who were already living in fear. People who were living in the midst of struggle and suffering and fear and persecution. The message that the end is near is actually really good news. It's like a light at the end of the tunnel. Just hang on. It's almost over. Things are going to change. Things are going to get better. That's what apocalyptic literature does. And so that's why we're given this apocalyptic text at the beginning of Advent. Because the message of Christmas is a message of hope. And the message of Advent is preparing and waiting and longing for that hope. The hope of God breaking into our world to change things for the better. That's what we're celebrating when we celebrate the birth of Jesus. So at the beginning of this chapter, chapter 13, Jesus' disciples were oohing and aahing over the Jerusalem temple, how big and beautiful it is. And Jesus responds to that by telling them that it's all going to be destroyed. The whole thing is going to get torn down. And then he warns them about war and persecution and struggle that lies ahead of them. And he tells them all about these difficult things that are coming and warns them that in the midst of all of that, false messiahs will pop up. People claiming to be the Messiah, the one that will save them from it all. Because that's what happens, right? When people are struggling, they're susceptible. So false heroes and people promising false hope pop up and take advantage of that. We've seen that throughout history, and we see it today in our world. Cult leaders, religious extremists, TV evangelists, or politicians claiming to be the only one who can fix everything that's wrong in the world. When people are most in need of hope, there are always those who step in and use that to their own advantage. So Jesus warns the disciples as they move into this difficult future to pay attention, to not fall for false messiahs, but instead to keep awake. keep alert and wait for the true Messiah to return. And for Mark's audience, this was also a message of encouragement to not give up, to keep watching and waiting. Because the original audience had really thought Jesus would be back by now. What was it you said, Wendy? If not next week, not Tuesday, Wednesday at the latest. I imagine that there was a fear and confusion that they were still waiting, that they had to continue to wait. Which is just another reason that this message applies to us today, because we live in this lengthy space of waiting. Waiting for the promise that Jesus will return, that God will finish what was started all those years ago, that all the wrongs will be righted. It's been so long, in fact, that I think we often lose sight of that promise. We lose sight of God's promise that the world-changing work of Jesus is not done, and that God's vision for a world where all are cared for will be realized. We're not just waiting and preparing to celebrate the birth of baby Jesus long ago. We're also waiting and preparing for the radical, world-changing ministry of the adult Jesus. We're waiting and preparing for the day when all that he worked towards will be completed. So this little apocalypse in Mark, it was a message of encouragement and hope for early Christians. And it can be that for us today as well. The message to keep awake, stay alert. It's a warning not to be deceived by any promise that's not grounded in God's love. We're not to let our own fears and worries make us turn to false hopes of materialism or nationalism or unjust leaders. We're to pay attention and stay alert to where it is that God is breaking in, where the true hope is shining light. It's an encouragement to keep preparing, even though we've been waiting such a long time. And it's a reminder to pay attention, because we're not just waiting for that final day when everything is made right, when all the suffering will be ended. We are also waiting and paying attention to all the ways that God is breaking into our world today. All the ways that God is shining a light of hope here and now. So where do we see that? Where do you see God at work in your life and in the world? Where do you see moments of forgiveness and kindness and compassion? Where do you see new life being born? New ideas, new energy, new beginnings. Where do you see God's love and goodness being brought to life in the actions of others? And where do you see opportunities to be a sign of God's light and love for the world? As I was reading many, many, many biblical scholars' takes on these texts, these hard texts, I really loved the fact that one of them pointed out that in this gospel passage, it's not just one servant who stays awake, who waits in order to be prepared. It's the whole household that is staying awake, because no one of them could do it alone. If just one of them was left to do it alone, they would surely fall asleep, right? But together, they can do the jobs that need to be done. They can take turns watching, and they can hold each other accountable. And that's what we have in our faith community as well. We can point out to one another where we see that hope and that new life emerging. We can encourage each other to be that hope, to be those changes in the world, to be God's hands and feet working for change. And we can be that hope for each other as we offer light for one another whenever we see someone suffering or struggling. We can offer care and comfort, love and support. So this Advent, as we wait and as we watch for God breaking into our world and shining hope where we least expect it, I invite you to pay attention. Pay attention for where you see that hope breaking in, where you see that light shining. And when you see it, when you notice, point it out to others. Share those moments so that others can see and feel that promise and that hope. Thanks be to God.